Yo, yo, what's up? We're back here at my Mic Sounds Nice podcast. I got my special man in the house right here, my man Invincible. I've been trying to get him on the podcast for a little while. This could go back about 3 or 4 years, but we got a connection like crazy. So we're going to talk a little hip-hop today. Thanks, Invincible, for coming out today. You know what I'm saying? Let us set up at your shop.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm always down for a good convo and, you know, shit, I'm ready to chop it up right now.
All right, all right. Well, let's get into it. All right, so I always start with the origin. So let's go with the origin story of how we came to get, you know each other, and what kind of, like, I guess, propelled from there. So how did we get together? How did we first meet?
Shit, man. You know what? It was through, because I had the photo studio, and then you were looking for a spot to do your
film. Yeah,
yeah, your film, and you reached out and kind of ended up just connecting like that, right?
Yep.
Just kind of building off of that. And then you needed some assistance in that area, and I came through, and shit, we've been working ever since, man.
This is true.
Yeah.
So now you are a musician. We've done a few videos together. Get ready to write a song together. How long have you been in the music game doing this? When did you start?
Man, I started, so recording or just like writing it?
Just, you know, hip woods. Like, what's the first song that, you know, you heard in your head, all of a sudden you picked up the pen, like, you know, I'm going to start MCing. I want to get into hip hop one way or another. What was that? Like, when did you?
Yeah,
when did
start doing it? Well, okay, so what was funny was, so I was always like a big hip hop guy, like, even as a kid. Like, I mean, even as a little kid, I don't know how, I must have been like 4 or 5 years old. My mom bought me a little tape player. Strokes. Yeah, a little tape player. And I was a little ass kid, and I had the MC Hammer, Can't Touch This. And I would play that shit because I was just into music.
Period. Right.
Okay. I was always into music. So I would say I grew up around music, and I think I started at about 12 years old, really started writing.
Okay.
I sucked pretty bad at 12. I think I started getting good when I was maybe 15, 16.
Okay.
And I linked up with a record producer named Jimmy Robinson, who took me under his wing. And we started working. And so I would say I got deep into it when I was about 14 years
14
old.
14 or 15. Now, out of all the people I know, you got the most connections I've ever seen. Like, whatever. I mean, you know people in different places. First one to take me to Capitol Records, all kind of different stuff. So when did you start picking up the connections of that? How did you, like, so you said you met a producer at 15 that kind of took you on the wing and kind of showed you how it was. How did you start getting those type of connections and building those connections off?
You know what? I think as you start grinding, right? Like, I've always been, I mean, you know me, man, and I'm kind of I don't really like telling a lot of people what I'm trying to do or
right.
what I'm going to do. It's more of I'm more like that. Like, let me just work and show you what I can do. You know what I mean? So I do my best to follow through with whatever I'm trying to do. But over the years, I've kind of been able to just network with people, learn to work with the right people. And I'm still building that. You know what I mean? So, like I said, meeting Jimmy Robinson at Hot Tracks, you know, he has a big background in a lot of people. Like, I feel like he's like an unsung hero in the music business because, like, he built the careers of a lot of artists that people
right.
don't even know about. And, you know, like Sugar Free, Cocaine, Above the Law, Tracy Spencer. Like, a bunch of people started with this guy.
Right.
You would have no idea. He was writing for Lakeside. And you know, I talked to Mark Wood from Lakeside, the lead singer, and he was saying, yeah, man, Jimmy Robinson used to be writing a lot of our music.
Wow. Okay.
And so I know for a fact this guy, I mean, he, like I said, he seen my work ethic, and by him seeing my work ethic, he wanted to work under me. And I have a funny story even, like, working with him, too. I mean, I was working with my dad, cutting down trees and shit. I was 14 years old, man.
Oh, wow.
Shit.
Okay.
And, you know, we go in this beat-up old truck with a bunch of, like, tree brush in the back.
Right.
And he sees me, he's like, damn, this little kid's paying for his beats. Like at 15, 14
right.
years old, like... So that's when he was like, man, I want to manage you and you know, take me under his wing.
So now we had a conversation about that, actually. So this is whatever. We actually talked about new musicians and how easy it is for them to make music now. You know, you just need some Pro Tools, maybe a, you know, closet, whatever. But we actually literally had to go hustle money up, find someone with the actual studio, maybe have a DAT tape or something, you know, and really, like, you know, like, I mean, the studio time wasn't even, it wasn't $20 an hour then either. They were charging you $175, $100 an hour for just, you know. What do you think Do you think the there's a difference in the music because of that? Do you think there's a difference because, like, you know, like, we really had to work. Like, in order for me to make a song, I really had to, like you said, I had to throw papers, get cans, work my regular job, do whatever I had to do to get studio time to go to the lab. Now it's a little bit easier, so, you know, you can just record and drop songs. You know, do you think that affects the music?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I look at music, you know, like, I listen to a lot of different artists now. And, you know, working aside, being inside of a club a lot nowadays, I'm able to kind of dissect what's being heard. Even on the radio, I might listen to, you know, a bunch of different things. And I'm noticing a lot of the stuff, it's very similar. And, you know, I was just talking to my niece about this because she's into a lot of the, you know, what's current,
what's
happening now. And I said, you know what's funny? I said, back growing up, it was not cool to sound alike.
Right.
It was, you would be called a biter, or you're biting somebody's style.
Right,
or,
right. That's the last thing.
Yeah. And so now it's like, if you're not copying somebody else's style, it's like you're not cool.
Right. No,
and so that's what I find funny, because I've always considered my style and my creativity like, yeah, you know, they say, oh, you sound like Snoop, or you sound like Sugar Free, or you sound like, but I always felt like I've been diverse in my writing style, and I've always took pride into what, you know, what I'm actually doing. Right. Like, yeah, I mean, I take pride into my writing style, my ability to write a hook, even if I'm not performing the hook. I mean, I know what, I have a great vision on what I'm doing.
What you want to hear, how do you want to sound like it?
Uh-huh. So, yeah, I've always found it funny that nowadays, if you don't sound alike, or you're not using a certain auto-tune or something to kind of alter your voice, you're not kind of in style.
Right.
So, yeah, man, I find that a little bit...
A little different and changed.
Yeah, definitely changed.
And this funny thing is, like, my style, because I, you know, I rhyme as well, but a lot of times my style is kind of unorthodox, whatever. I hear a lot of people tell me, like, you sound, you know, you don't sound like the normal, whatever. Like, as all, like you said, but when I grew up, if I sounded like anybody else, I was whack to me. I was like, oh, man, I sound like him, I was whack, whatever. So it took me a long time to kind of create my style, I guess, whatever. It took me a few years to kind of find where I wanted to be as far as rhyming. But I think nobody rhymes like me, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, so I think I have a unique enough style where it kind of separates from anybody. But I have been told from other MCs and artists, whatever, like, oh, your style's too different, you know what I mean, whatever. But
yeah, and that might be a thing. Like, if it's something, I feel like we kind of, music-wise, I don't want to see it be, in a way it kind of is like dummy down. Like, it's if you spin it too unorthodox, it's almost like, okay, what is that?
It's
foreign. And I tell people, it reminds me of that, if you watch the Back to the Future.
Right.
He starts playing the guitar, and, like, they're like, what is this? Because it's from, like, a different, like, he's doing
different era.
Different era. And so, yeah, you know what? And I love being diverse when I rap. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I have been told, like, hey, just chill. Like, don't rap too fast. So, yeah, I mean, that's just me. You know what I mean? But I feel like I can adapt to anything. If you give me a certain beat, I can adapt to whatever style, like, let's bring it on. Let's do it.
I think I can rap on any beat. So there's only one beat that's gotten me. So, okay. So, new music. I know that we've been talking about new music, and I've talked almost to every artist about the new music, new generation of style. Now, I have toured with a few artists, and I kind of understand the new music, I guess you say hype, or the energy that comes around it a little bit. So I kind of get it a little bit. But what do you think about new hip hop today compared? I know it's not even compared. Let's keep it broad. What do you think about new hip hop and just in general, how it is today? How's it feel?
New hip hop in general. How does it feel? You know what? I think there's a lot of great artists that are out there. I feel like there's a ton of artists that have talent.
Right.
As far as music wise, as far as what's on the radio, but, you know, as far as what's on the radio, I've always kind of felt like that. Like, it's just the commercial sound is it's almost missing something. And I feel like today's hip hop is definitely missing a certain ingredient. Okay. I feel like there's like no soul.
No soul.
You know what? And you know what? People might say, hey, you're wrong for feeling that way. But no, when you listen to a certain record from, like, Tupac, or you listen to, you know, old school record from, like, a Nate Dogg or something. Like, there was something special about Nate Dogg.
Right.
There was
something
special about Pac. There was something special about, like, a Warren G or something. You know what I mean? They were, like, doing something. Even when you hear, like, a Sugar Free or a Snoop Dogg, like, Snoop Dogg is doing, like, look at his voice. Like, he's doing something that to me is, his records stick.
Yeah, okay.
And today's records, let's be real. Like, today's records, another 10 years from now, are we still going to be bumping these records that are out right now?
Good question. Are they going to have that kind of lasting, are they going to grow well?
Are they going to have that lasting effect? And right. I feel like we're in a trend savvy game right now. It's just all about trends. I don't feel like people are into the hip hop culture. I feel like they're more into the fad of popularity.
Yes.
And since we're in social media, is all about your numbers, and you got to have this impression of you being hot. So they're defining your numbers as far as you being hot.
Right.
And I don't necessarily think that's accurate, because there's a lot of things you can do to
fluctuate those numbers.
To make those numbers seem, you know, so. And you think about, like, models on IG and all that stuff. Like, of course, they're going to have numbers. Dudes are going to be on them. But as far as music-wise, I feel like hip-hop, there's something missing in hip-hop. And I think it's just, I think it don't have that soul. It's like, even if you take it back to an 80s record or something, those classic records, man, it can be any genre. What made those records stick for 30, 40 years?
Yeah, I got you. And I kind of think so, on my opinion on this, on the hip-hop thing, and I've said it, I think the elements have been lost from hip-hop, and I think that is killing hip-hop in itself. Like, I think it's all about the rapper. Even the producer doesn't get a lot of shine now. I mean, sometimes you get a couple producers that get, you know, their love, of course, or whatever. But for the most part, it used to be full, like, producers, the DJs, the MCs, the graffiti artists, the B-boys. Like, everybody had a role in it. And right now, it's just the artists and whatever melody they can make up that can get the masses to move. And that's cool. I don't know. I mean, like, music is always a connecting feeling to everybody, whatever. But I think if we had all those elements back, man, if we could bring some of the graffiti artists back. I know there's graffiti artists out there. I see them all the time. I've done videos. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because not everybody's balling, man. We still, look at, like, there's people out there struggling.
Yeah.
Like, everybody got some type of struggle. And I think older hip-hop, was kind of, it was not only, it was a good feeling all around. It wasn't just about, like, I feel like now it's just one category.
Right.
You know, we're talking about balling and having money and this and that. And that's cool. Like, I like that too. Everybody want to be balling.
Right.
But let's keep it real. Like, part of the progress of getting somewhere is, that's the dream. Let's talk about the dream. Let's talk about us working to get there. Let's talk about the highs and the lows.
Let's talk
about the moments with our, you know, like, there's so much more ingredients that I feel that are missing in the pot right now. I mean, do we have Eazy-E's? Do we have a Nas? Do we have a Biggie? Do we have artists like that today?
Right.
That's a question. Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about, like, Kendrick and stuff. Now, there's tons of artists that got talent. I feel like now there's a lot of artists that got talent.
True.
Are they getting the shine on, the right ones? I don't know. You know what I mean? But there's a lot of dope artists.
So now you work with DJ Battlecap. John B had one of my favorite songs. Don't say. That's my
joke.
Yeah, whatever. So you work with you got music with known producers, known artists. How did you get to this level? What's your feeling about getting to, you know, some pretty nice major records out there?
Yeah, well, when I worked with John on the Soldier Never Dies, that was a surreal moment, because me and Battlecap put the beat together, and we're in the same. And so it was in memory of my cousin who passed away. And so he had a picture of my cousin, Battlecap did. And then he had and this is during the same time Michael Jackson had, I think he had just passed. It was around that time. So he had put a picture of Michael Jackson up. And we're in the studio where NWA did the what's the album, Straight Outta Compton. They recorded. So this is like a real
known studio.
And so we were there and we did it. I mean, it was a really good feeling. The vibe came together. We worked with John came to the studio. He laid his hook, and he did a verse, and we kind of collaborated somewhat on that verse together. Yeah, then we ended up doing a video. I mean, it was like a really dope collaboration. And the record actually, like, I wish we would have had social media.
We would have had
IG and all this while we're doing this. Because I was performing, you know, I was on the Army Times. I was doing all kinds of things with the military. Like, I was going to all the military events. And performing for, like, different military events. I wish social media would have been there when I was doing that.
So do you think I honestly think if they had a social media when I started doing music, man, it'd have been a game changer. But do you think that would have been a whole, do you think that could have, let's say, propelled your career even in a different, more atmosphere they had?
Oh, definitely, man. Because, like, when I was starting as a young kid, so me and Jimmy, you know, bringing him back up again, you know, we were day in, day out. And, like, he has stories. Like, if you'd ever sit down with him and talk about, right. like, why we, like, certain record deals. And, like, we've been offered some. Like, why they didn't happen as a kid. Like, what happened. I mean, he has his own theory on it. But it was cool. You know what I mean? I did get a little radio love in Vegas because I had my boy Cisco out at Hot 97. And, you know, he showed love on a few records. And believe it or not, So Loaded. Now, that one never got radio play anywhere, but he put that on, like, his mixtape.
Oh, word. Okay.
And it was kind of cool. You know what I mean? So I've done some really cool things back then. And I think that messing with Battle Cat was a really good experience because he taught me something different as far as how to record different. Mm. I felt like I was like a pro recording, but he took me to another level recording.
Okay, nice. That's what you get to learn a little bit from, you know what I'm saying, his style of recording. Now, you actually, before we talked, you said to get the lyrics right, he would have you do what to get your lyrics right? I got to think.
Oh, yeah. So not basically, you know, pronouncing... pronouncing the words right. So I have a style that, you know, that I tend to be fast at some time. I can slow it down, but some words I don't pronounce perfectly. So Battle Cat was like, hey, put a pencil or a pen in your mouth and rap it. And then, you know, after a certain amount of times of doing the verse over and over,
take it
out and see how you sound. And yeah, sure enough, you know, I'll be able to pronounce the words a lot fluently and it'll sound a lot better. So those are certain things that, like, techniques, certain producers have certain techniques that bring out the best in you.
That's dope. All right, let's talk about So Loaded. All right, so we shot a So Loaded video. Michael R. Santana directed. Shout out Michael R. Santana on the direction on that one.
Yeah.
When you came through, you had... vision, you had an idea. So give us how the So Loaded came through, and then what do you think? What was, you know,
your... Want to talk about, like, video wise or song,
or just the whole, let's say, like, the process? I know you said that you were recording So Loaded, so I know you said it was kind of an older song, but you want to do a video now for it. So let's go through the process of when we first, let's say, you got the idea, I'm gonna do a video for this. What was, you know, what is your vision on So Loaded?
Well, for So Loaded, I remember playing the song and somebody, I'm trying to think of who, somebody was here, and they were like, man, you need to do a video to that.
Right.
So what I did was, I was bumping it, and I tagged Battle Cat, and I'm like, I'm going to hit him up. I'm like, let's do it. I'm ready to roll. So I hit up Mike Santana, who shot the video, and I don't know if he was really feeling it at first, but but he ended up, we ended up doing it, and kind of collaborating on the ideas, location scouting, getting the girls. I was like, man, I get the girls, I get the, you know, I get the cars. Yeah. He didn't get back to me, so I hit up my other boy who's gonna reach out to, you know, a somewhat popular videographer, and I was like, maybe I'll go ahead, because I was like, well, Mike probably wasn't feeling the song.
So
I don't know how in the hell we reconnected on it. So we end up chopping it up about doing it kind of visually, you know, wanting to shoot a day here at Fat Studios.
Right.
And then doing the LA scene, doing the LA River. And it was just, I'm going to keep it real. Like, doing this video, it was almost like if I was to tell you all the steps that came through, all the people that came through, everything that came through, like, it was like too good to be true. Because think about it, man. Like, we look for an LA River scene, right?
Right.
James, who also, you know, hooked it up with the drone and stuff, he hit up a guy for the LA River. LA River guy was like, go ahead. You know what I mean? He was cool about it. Smooth. Because we didn't have
We
didn't have access to it. So he's like, yeah, they just shot a Vance commercial. You know what I mean? Go back there. Use my back.
Right.
I'm like, damn, all right, cool. So we did the LA River scene. We had the little Mexican cart. I mean, just everything kind of flowed. Smoothly. I don't know shooting it if it's flowed as smooth, but I know that getting the people there, getting everybody here, it was pretty smooth.
Pretty smooth, pretty effortless. And everybody came through. We had a lot of people come through. A lot of the girls came through. Like I said, Battle Cat came out a couple, you know, three or four times.
Yeah, him. Cluso. KD came. You know, like I said, Roman was there like every day that we shot. So we just had like a lot of support.
Right, the girls too.
I mean, it was just kind of, it was a lot of work, but it was also, it was just smooth.
Okay, and so now the solo the video came out. What did you think about when you saw it?
You know what? I believe me to be a very picky person.
Right.
Super okay. picky. And the first day I seen it, I was like, all right. So I saw the visual and I see what Mike did. And I was like, you know, this shit's dope. But he wasn't finished with it. He showed me like a verse and a half.
Right, I got
so
you.
So I'm like, all right, this shit is dope. I can't wait to see the rest of it. So when I finally saw the rest of the video, I said, this shit is... This is something right here.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think exactly. The visuals, everything. I must have watched the video at least over 1,000 times.
Yeah, right.
At least over and over, and so yeah, I've watched it. And, you know, I still enjoy it.
And as like I said, it's kind of fulfilling, especially because like I said, like you said, a lot of people don't know the shoot time that we did. Like even on the day shoot, me, you, and Mike will go out and drive around and scout locations, and we put the prep time into whatever. So to see it at the end of it. And go like, man, we actually found this place, or man, we actually whatever. And look how the visuals came, and you know, like the opening and everything. It was kind of like a gratifying experience, or whatever, just to see it, and then to watch the numbers. Like you said, you know, you get numbers on it now. So
yeah, the numbers are growing; they're increasing.
I know it's your numbers, but I still take it as my numbers too.
They're increasing because you know what? It was all everybody working together and putting, like you said, no one knows how much time we put into it. They just see the after effects,
right?
And but no, we put some work into this. And right. I hope when people do see whether you like it or not, you still can say, you know what? These people put a lot of hard work into creating this video.
And to be honest, and you know, not to whatever, but I'm just saying, like, I look at other people's videos, not to crap anybody, whatever, but this is like a legit old school quality video. Like, this is like got, you know, like story, detail, whatever. A lot of not saying whatever, I'm not taking these shots at anybody, but no, we're not on like a ledge or we're not on a porch, you know, with seven of our homies jumping around.
Yeah, that's true.
Whatever. It's actually got a real story, like they kind of used to do, like back when they used to make the $1 million videos. It kind of reminds me of like the, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
those type of school, whatever. So,
and that's what I when we were talking about, like, what do you see in today's music compared to, like, you know, I feel like, man, music, whatever you do, like, put some, I don't know, like, put some soul into it.
Right.
Put some that hard work ethic into it. If you're going to sample somebody's song, make sure that shit's, like, really put some hard work into it.
Right. No, I got you. Definitely.
Shout out James Hill.
Drone. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, James Hill is the one who brought the drone. And, like I said, man, everybody came through. Like, if we needed
a... It was a great video, like I said. Every time you hit a view, I feel like I got a view. So I'm like, oh, yo, we got another one.
Yeah, well, I don't know where we at right now, but it's going up.
Oh, I know we're getting that, though, but it's okay. It's going up, whatever. All right, so Tina Marie, right? Just put this one out here. You just dropped a new record. How did this one come about? Is this a song you just recorded, or...?
Nah, you know what? I hit up this girl, Magic Girl. And Magic Girl, she's from, I believe, Bakersfield.
Okay.
If I'm wrong, Magic Girl, man, you forgive me. But, yeah, I think she's from that area. And she has a dope style, like that old school, and she's into the talk box thing.
Right, okay.
You know what? I heard a beat, and I'm like, I want this beat right here. And I said, can you make something similar to this? She's like, yeah. So she sent me over some beats. I was like, yeah, I want this one. And I don't know. I just had the concept, Tina Marie, looking for my Tina Marie.
Right.
So I was like, maybe she could play a talk box on it. But I don't know how it all came to be. Me and Roman were working together. I'm like, Roman, I got this idea, whatever. I shot him the idea, kind of sang him a little bit. And what I sang him, he came back with something that, like, blew it away.
Right.
And I felt like he did a hell of a job, man. And then KD was like, I'll jump on it. I showed a local homie, like, that I knew from back in the day, Blends. And I was like, hey, man, you want to jump on it? He's like, yeah, I'll jump on it.
Okay.
So we all went to the studio and laced it and shit, man. I got really good, you know, aside from me intentionally putting Tina, like Tina, because I felt like it was easier to, like, if you're searching it.
Right.
But aside from the spelling of the first name, I got really good
reviews on it.
Yeah, definitely so far.
It's got a good vibe to it, definitely.
Yeah, and we're going to be doing the marketing promo on that probably next couple of weeks. It should be out and cracking.
Okay, nice, nice. Okay, so is there an Invincible album coming, or are we just doing singles for the minute? Just what's the master plan right now?
You know what? I was cruising the other day, and I found because you know when I was looking for a manager years back, I used to send out like a press kit of my headshot, my bio, my CD, whatever.
Yeah, okay.
And I found a CD that had like 7 songs on it.
Word, okay.
And these are old school songs. I'm like, damn, this shit's dope. Like one had, I think no, 2 songs were like Cocaine. I think one was like with Big Psych. I don't know. There was a couple. I think one was Jail Felony. So I was like, damn, this shit got like it sounded good though. Yeah, it sounded like super good. And I'm like, maybe I should put like an Invincible Lost Tape
album or something like that, right? Yeah, yeah, it could be good marketing too.
All right. So, and I'm like, maybe I should put it out there, or maybe I should do that later, like once I build my name up.
Right.
Because I'm thinking like this shit still sounds good quality. I hate that there are some songs that I have on YouTube that like the guy that was like, man, I wish they had better mixes on them.
I wish we would have had
like the you know, but hey, it is what it is, and I still have those memories as far as working with certain artists.
Of course.
I mean, I got stories for days. Shit, we've been chopping it up.
They got stories for days on the artists on there, huh?
Yeah, I do. Really do.
So, okay. So, let's say music business. We're getting into music business.
Uh-huh.
What do you think is the reason for, I guess, there's a lot of artists out here. What do you think is the reason for not all these, and I guess every artist blowing up? Why? How can you think the music business is wrong for them?
It's wrong for them because it's a cutthroat business, man. Like, it's like being an actor, or you got to have thick skin. First of all, most of these people, they're not passionate about what they do.
Right.
So they think they are. It's like being a model, right? Or whatever. Anything you're doing, being an entrepreneur, anything you get into, right? How long do people last?
Yeah, a little bit until it gets a little hard.
And once it gets hard, or they see it's not as easy as what they thought it was going to be, they're in it for a couple years or gone.
Right.
Yeah. So doing this music stuff, like really doing it, like it takes time.
It does.
It takes all your time, and it takes money. If you don't got no bread to spend, you ain't working at 9 to 5 somewhere.
Yeah. You definitely need money. I think a lot of people think that if they have a dope song, which you can have a great song, or whatever, but they think that's gonna get them over, and that happens for a rare, a few people that they have that one that goes, or whatever. But I think a lot of times people don't recognize that record labels. When you sign a record label, they give you like a budget, right? They give you this, okay, say $250,000, and that's to produce your album, and then they're going to have some back-end money to go ahead and do some promotion on it, so you can get that out there or whatever. And I think a lot of times people don't recognize that. It's called music business. I mean, you can have a great-sounding something, but if you're not putting in any money or any marketing or any promotion or any behind it, then you're probably not going to see anything. And especially with so many people recording and how easy it is to record now, you're definitely going to have to put some kind of effort, or let's say some kind of marketing or something into it in order to get people to listen.
Yeah, you definitely need marketing. I feel like Exhibit said this in a song, right? Old school song. He said the game is 98% he said 2% talent, 98% Hollywood, or he said
something like that.
Yeah, no, but Exhibit talked about, or a lot of different artists have talked about, like, it's only a few, like, it's really, the game is not really sold on your talent.
Right.
You think really, like, there's, like I said, I guarantee 5 really badass rappers out there.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Are they on?
No. No.
And I mean, when I look at somebody that's really talented, I'm looking at somebody that really can write a record, like a full hook, complete, even if they're not doing the hook, like they can really do the full on.
Every promotion, everything, the whole package when it comes to songwriting. I get you.
So that's when I look at an artist from a talent standpoint. Like, there's a lot of artists that can spit, freestyle. And I used to be one of those guys that could freestyle and do all this crazy stuff. But I look at music different now. Like, how can I write this? How can I create something that's dope? But not all the stuff I do, I think is dope.
Right. I've had many albums, or not albums, but songs that I've listened to that I didn't like. For sure.
Another thing too is, like, I'm cool with people not digging my shit,
right?
Not digging my style, you know what I mean? Like, that's not always gonna happen. Like,
of course you can't make music for everybody, you know what I'm saying? Or, unless you're Drake, I guess. But
if you're Drake,
guess you can make music for everyone then. But if you're not, not everybody's gonna like it, whatever. But like I said, even then, as some people don't like, whatever. Everybody's gonna not like everything. You know what I mean?
And I'm perfectly fine with people not liking my shit.
But there's 7 billion people in the world. So all you need is a
Shit, little you group. Create your own tribe, man. Right? I was listening to this guy, Seth Godin, right? The marketing guy. And he was talking about, like, everybody's waiting to get picked. Everybody's waiting to get picked by somebody. But he's like, nah, you create your own tribe.
Yeah, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so that's what I want to do. Like, I ain't tripping about, you know what I mean, trying to be a hot artist right now. I'm not trying to be a Future.
Or
in their lane. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, trying to make your own people that listen to your type.
I'm trying to create my own lane.
Yeah, no,
my own pond of people.
No, that's definitely. And I think you kind of need that sometimes. Like I said, well, my rhyme style is so unorthodox. So the people that do get it, like, I appreciate them more. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, people that listen to whatever, people that do get it, I appreciate it a little bit more because I'm like, okay, you actually kind of understand what I'm doing. You kind of see how I'm breaking down or whatever. And then certain other things too, like I said, like hearing Little Mikey sing my hooks, whatever, that makes me feel good too, whatever. Like, you know, different. You know what I mean? I know I'm in the right ballpark. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, it's kind of catchy because it, you know, it does kind of, you know, that kind of makes me feel good when you know that kind of thing as well.
Yeah, definitely. So. Yeah, when you hear other people bumping your shit or kind of digging what you're doing.
Yeah, like, yeah, even right now, I mean, like, I'm getting a few Spotify streams right now, but every morning I wake up and see a couple hundred. I'm feeling pretty good about that. Like, oh, man, oh, you know, every morning it's a couple hundred, 400 or 500. Like, man, that feels pretty good to see that, you know, at least 400 or 500 people kind of check me out, whatever. When before I used to drop a record and it would be, you know, the friends. And then your friends, I don't know, like I said, some friends will tell you, like, that's one thing I got to keep it a buck with you. I love the fact that I can flip you a real song and then you'll give me the real honest answer. Like, yo, no, it's whack. I didn't like it. No, it is whatever. It is dope. I do whatever. I do appreciate that or whatever. That's actually a good skill because not a lot of people do that.
Nah, but, you know what? I try to keep it real. If I'm not feeling something, I'll be like, nah. I might say, oh, it's cool.
Yeah, right.
That's probably my honest answer for it's not that good.
It's cool. Yeah,
it's cool.
He said, that's my honest answer for
cool.
Whatever.
Yeah, so. It's cool. So if you ever hear me saying, nah, it's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That probably means it's not
I didn't like that much.
Yeah,
I
don't like it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like
but that. I ain't always right, so. And I'm cool with not always being right, man.
Yeah, but sometimes, like you said, you're giving it, you know, just getting a different couple vibes on or whatever, like, or someone like, no, I didn't kind of whatever, you're kind of taking in or whatever. Like, you know, I like that I have, like, you know, 5 or 6 people I could flip something off of, they'll tell me whatever. Because I always flip, like, a project out to, like, 6 people, 6 just kind of direct people. And then I get the general consensus of whatever. 4 say it's good, 2 say it's whack, I'm going with, the four, whatever. If 4 say it's whack and 2 say it's good, then I'm like, all right, this is trash, let's start over again. Yeah. But
I didn't know if So Loaded was good.
And when I first heard So Loaded, I called you right away. Like, no, this is the joint right here. You know what I mean? I was instant like, oh, you're out of here. You know
but
what I'm saying?
Hey, but everybody kept telling me that's the one. Like, I've been told that for years, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like I said, it's hard because you get other people that say, nah, I would like that song. Or,
right, right.
Why don't you do a video to that song? Or,
well, see, the great thing about So Loaded is that we shot it last year. And it, like I said, it was like, I think it was like almost end of summer, whatever. Mm-hmm. We got it out, you know, but it's coming this summer right now, and you have about 60,000 views. We can make this a summer song, and it can go this year. Like, you know, because summer's coming around. It's already starting to get the bubble on it. Like you said, you put the promotion in on about right to about May. It's a summer song. I mean, it's a party joint. We can pop the, you know, we can get some drinks. Hey, we can have a good whatever.
You know what's the trip about it? Like, you hear Little John did Taco Tuesday. You have Tyga did Macarena.
Right.
You have, of course, YG with Loco, and they did the other one, YG, and I think it was Tyga.
Yeah, and
there's another one. What's that? Uno, dos.
Right.
So you got all these songs
that are kind of in that era,
that era, right? Yeah, but So Loaded is a little different than Logan.
Definitely.
But I did my shit way back.
Right.
I did my shit. Like, you can't say that. I did my shit over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Me and Kat worked on this shit, and Kat was like, man, we need to do. So I think that's, like, man, I feel like I have some records that are way ahead of
you. Right. And you might be in the right time now. You might just have them recorded, just waiting for the right time to pop them.
And I feel like I got juice coming. Like that Tina Marie record, that instant. Like, it's just easy. Like,
I
can do this shit all day. You know what I mean?
No problem. Put it together.
Huh? Want to do some new shit? Let's do it.
No, I know. And actually, that's funny because I've been recording an album with Urge 7. Shout out my man Urge 7 right now. I'm recording an album with him. And I just finished my album recently. And I noticed now that I get in the studio and it's getting super easy for me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was easy. And it wasn't easy before. I always take my time, whatever. But now I'm noticing I get in the booth. I write it. Boom. You know, it's nothing now, almost whatever. Because I've been recording so much, I think. And I just, like, almost like every day, almost every other day, I'll still, even if I don't have it, whatever. I just wrote my nephew a little song. If you guys check it, you know, whatever. check for my nephew, but don't call him a ghostwriter. He's only 9 right now. So, you know what I'm saying? He'll write his own stuff later, you know, whatever. But, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? If he blows up later, I'm like, nah, his uncle wrote his song for him. But yeah, just right now, it's just his first one. But I've been even still, like I said, just recording, just writing and whatever. I just find that just the exercise of it just, you know, it just becomes kind of simple. Not simple, but
it's just a little bit smoother.
Yeah, smoother. Exactly. Yeah. I can find my pockets a lot easier. When I was younger, I found, I used to go in and memorize everything, which I don't do everything. I know it's used to, but I used to go and memorize everything and just go drop or whatever. But it was still wasn't as fluid as it is now.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Writing music, right? Like, so for me, some artists like to write their songs real fast.
Right.
Write a verse right there and then. Me, if you want me to be me, like the real Invincible, like give me a little time on it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I don't need that shit. All I need is a couple hours.
Yeah.
You're trying to get me to do a verse in 30 minutes. I could do it, too.
Yeah, he's up a couple of.
I'm not giving you the full Invincible.
Yeah, yeah, no, I mean?
Shit, give me an hour or two to really do something that you're going to be happy with.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm with writing. I find that the writing, I can't. I don't know. I have to, whatever the beat tells me. Like, sometimes I can get a song off. Like, I can write something in 5 minutes and it'll be, you know, dope.
Yeah.
But sometimes it'll take me, you know, a couple days because I'll just listen to it and I'll write a little bit and I'll come back, whatever. And I don't know. Just the beat. Sometimes, like, the beat, well, I'll just, boom, it'll flow out, no problem. But for whatever reason, it's just coming a little bit easier now. And oh, my phone's buzzing. My bad. Oh, my bad,
Are you calling me too? See, it came like good. At the same time.
No, you're good. No, you're good. You're good. Anyway, so, all right, so back to business a little bit over there. What business methods would you use to get music out now?
Man, you know what? Whatever you spend on, if artists are even spending anything recording now, because like you said, recording so easy.
Right.
So what I would do is like whatever you're spending on a video, double that in marketing and promotion.
And promotion as well. Yeah.
So I would definitely do like I would set up a plan for every, and that's why I want to stick to singles right now.
Like, yeah,
people keep telling me like, oh, why aren't you doing an album? I'm like, because nobody, like, why should anybody care about my album right now?
Right.
Like real shit. Like, why should anybody care about me right now?
Yeah,
like,
you gotta
build who I am up.
I got you.
I've been in this game for a long time, but let me build. The new people don't know who the hell I am.
Right.
So let me build who I am up and let me put some marketing behind me. The people are gonna react because I feel like I do have a style that I can get people to bite on. You know what
yeah
I mean?
Yeah, no,
once, you, once as long as I'm consistent enough, people will catch their attention and you know, let them decide. Let me build my, like I said, let me build my tribe.
Okay, got you. Yeah, right, build your tribe. That's it. And I actually I do put out albums, but I just like putting projects together. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, I don't know, I always like a full project. This is just me, but I just like putting together a project because I just like finished projects, I guess, whatever. So albums, like singles, are finished too fast for me, if that makes any sense. Like, you know what I'm saying? Once I record a single, like, that's it. So I like putting together an album. And then what I've actually been noticing, I promote my album, Death of the Middleman, copy, you know what I'm saying? Spotify, go check it. But I've been promoting my album. So what I've been doing is I've been checking different songs to see what hits a little bit to kind of find out. So if I'm doing record another album, let's say I record another album, which songs you know, bubbled the most, and you know, maybe I can use that a little bit to write my next joint. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess.
So I have, you know, like you said, because nobody cares, like you said, my album, like right now, nobody who would care about whatever. So I understand that, whatever. But it's, sometimes it's like, all right, now that people are kind of listening, now their ears are open a little bit. Like, what songs do you like here?
Whatever.
Okay, you know what I mean?
But see, what was the difference with what you did? You did something with marketing.
Right, yeah, definitely.
So you did something that maybe you might not be used to. You put some money into the marketing, and then you notice that it got a reaction.
Right. That's very true. And I realized that I had to put I figured it was music business. I had to put some money on the marketing. Because I didn't pay anything for recording. Like, I have my own studio in my house. You know, I built a whole room inside my garage, insulated, you know, with a mic or whatever. So it didn't cost me $75 like it did when I was 15 to record this album. So this album just took time, you know, energy or whatever. So I was like, all right, well, you know, why not see if we can get it? Like I told my son, I was driving home. I was like, I can't ask people to listen to my music anymore. I just have to put the music where the people are. You know what I'm saying? Because asking people to listen to music is great, but there's a zillion people out here trying to get music to say in the same, listen to mine. So I'm going to just put the music where the people are. You know what I'm saying? And then they'll decide themselves.
Yeah, there's so many people doing music. It's just, it's like, what do you know is good? It's hard. I mean, it's right. really hard to distinguish. And it's so easy now. With yeah, the internet, it's so easy to do. I mean, you could do a song right now about
oh, yeah, right.
hippity hop, whatever. Don't stop and put that on Instagram and be like, I'm a rapper, this and that. Paid promotion on that bad boy. Yeah, and it had like a couple thousand views. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right.
So there's a lot of artists that can do that. And it's like, how do you know what's hot?
That's true. That's true. I think you know, though. I think a good song can't be denied, man. Because I tell people, now, I'm a hip hop head. Okay. So I'm a hip hop. So the more I listen to, not all I listen to, there's a majority of what I listen to, even still, like even to this day. I listen to old stuff. I listen to new stuff. Griselda, that's my new shit right now. I've listened to a lot of Griselda lately. Uh-huh. But, you know, damn, I lost my train of thought right now.
Well, you're talking about some of the music that you listen to right now and that not all, you know, there are some good stuff that you do.
Yeah, like. there is good new stuff to kind of check out. You know what I'm saying? There is definitely new music out there. But I just think, like you said, there's so much of it out there. The ear won't deny good music. That's good what I always music. Think. Like, so I've heard country songs. I don't listen to country, but I've heard country songs. My foot's tapping, head's bobbing. I can't deny it because it's good, whatever. I'll even put an example for it. A song called Devil in the Fiddle, whatever. Yeah. I cannot stop loving that song or whatever. And I'm not a country fan, but I know
what's good music.
It's a good music.
You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, when I hear something that's dope, like you can't program me to say just because what's on the radio is dope.
Right.
Like, to me, that shit ain't dope.
Yeah, well, the radio's kind of designed by the...
Like, you're not going to program me to train me to think what is the trending is dope.
Right.
I know that's any genre that, like, you exactly what you said, no matter what the song is, if it's good, it's good.
It's good, yeah, exactly. There's nothing you can do about it sometimes. Yeah, like, it I just can't anything. Help it. If exactly.
it's dope, it's a fucking dope record.
Exactly. You know, System of the Down, there's a song comes on, I'm rocking, you know, say heads bopping, you know, I just can't help it. Like I said, my brain won't deny good music. My brain won't say, well, nah, it's because it's rock, I'm not listening to that. Like, my brain's like, nah, that knocks. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, yo, bob dope. Your head, you know what I'm saying, or whatever. So I think sometimes, like, you know, even though there's a lot of people good, whatever, like I said, there's underground artists that, you know, we've done shows here, of course, at the studio or whatever, and there's some underground artists that we were like, Javi the God, you know, Javi.
Oh, yeah.
Javi gets down, you know what I'm saying? You know, so now that I know, like, when I heard his, he had a song called, I forgot. I'm sorry, Javi. I'm trying to give you shine right now, but he had a song out, I can't think of what the song is right now, but it's when I heard it. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's like, this is a good song. You know what I mean? It's just, you just know. It's like, okay, even though I know this guy personally, I know this is a good song. You know what I mean?
He's one of the artists perform here because, you know, we've seen so many artists perform.
Right.
He's one of the better ones that
shine. Yeah, no, he gets down or whatever. So there's a few, like I said, we've done a few underground shows here. You know, I'm all about trying to get underground hip hop, whatever. And, you know, like I said, when the dope ones come out, man, we recognize, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, man.
So what do you think about, you own here, we have Fat Studios, whatever, have a magazine, you did, you know, what do you think, how did you get this business up, you know, how did you get this hustle right here, you know, we're in your spot right here.
Well, you know what I got into, so music, I think music really built me, you know what I mean? So the music, the industry.
Right.
So me struggling to pay for my rap beats and pay for studio time and, you know, living. Like, I would tell people, I said, man, if I didn't invest so much money into my music, I'd probably be, like, super baller. God knows how much money I put into my music. So I was just tired of working a regular job, man.
Okay.
And I got into this, like, entrepreneur type vibe and started reading all these crazy books and I had a group of friends, we, you know, from the same area, and I said, you know what, I ended up meeting a girl, and I met this girl, and I said, you know what, she was in the industry, and she already had a magazine, so I was like, you know what, let's put something together, and we started from scratch, and we moved fast. There were some ins and outs that happened, and I said, you know what, I want to get my own studio.
Right, okay.
I said, even if the magazine's not really making the that money title. So me and a good friend of mine, his name is Oso, we decided to invest into this studio.
Okay, nice.
So we invested in the studio, and I said, you know what, if the money, if it does, we don't make money financially through ads and all that, we'll just create the studio to
the generate, backup.
To
keep us
alive. And basically kind of did that, and then now we're here.
Nice. Go ahead. All right. And so now we got the studio here. Like, so we've done shows. You do photo shoots here. Now, are you thinking about doing a magazine again? Or what is your idea on?
Yeah, you know what? You know one thing I did fall in love with doing magazine thing? So this is what I fell in love with it. Because as an artist, we're like all about our ego, right?
Right.
Everything is like pleasing us. It's me. And as a I would say kind of like a journalist.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You actually get to learn about other people.
Yeah, I got you.
And okay. I got to embrace that. Like, man, I get to, it's not just about my story.
Yeah, no, I did.
Like, even though people don't really know my story, it's cool to learn about other people's stories.
Yeah.
And I feel like every one of us has a story, and I think that's just dope, man. Like, I was fascinated to learn about other people's stories.
Yeah, dude.
And that's what I loved about doing the magazine.
That's cool. And that's actually kind of when I started Chaotic. It originally started as kind of a record label type of deal.
Yeah.
And it's turned into more of a media, we're more of a media, multimedia company now. And I started doing that same thing. I started taking other people's videos. Like I said, it was really about me and my cousin. Shout out my cousin G13. It was really about us putting our music out, our videos, our vision, our whatever, and then we started embracing other underground artists and putting out their videos as well and their shows and their whatever. And like you said, I kind of felt a little bit more like, oh yeah, it's kind of dope to actually, hey, this, I think this person's dope, check them out on my Instagram page. Like, if you go to my Instagram page, you'll see some stuff of, you know, me, Mike the Middleman, New Legends, but you also see, you know, The Invincible, you also see Javi, you also see any, you know, any artist that I think is dope. That's, you know, that's kind of like underground type of, you know, whatever. We're trying to showcase it. Like, we want to be the first to, like, so you know, when you, well, I already know you blow. I always tell you, you're going to be out of here.
Yeah.
Well, when they come back to look at my page, you know, a couple years back, like, oh, dang, he had the video way back. Like, he was on them before, you know what I'm saying? Before he already knew, sure, whatever.
Look at all the content you have from, all the track record you have from So Loaded. And,
right.
And, like, even to up to today, man. So, like, anything pop off, you have all that, so.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. So I just like showing the fact that, you know, like, these are dope. We know, we saw them first. It's like the old MTV, you hear it here first.
Yeah,
we knew it first. You know what I'm saying? You guys is late to the game.
Yeah. So I mean, we've been grinding, and I think that's what happens is that it's all the grind that goes behind the scenes that nobody sees. Yeah. I mean, shit, we have track record of it. Yeah. Once something does pop, you can go back
right,
and go
check
look
out
at
that
everything.
Ever. We go show documentaries, check out the Chaotic Styles YouTube. There's documentaries all over there.
Yeah.
You know, I know we got to get Vince out of here. I could talk to Vince for hours because I just be talking to this dude on the phone for like 2 hours just straight. So, but you know what I'm saying? People, he's a busy man. They need him here. So we're going to let Vince get a shout out. Want to say anything to the people at all? Anything you want to reach out to?
Yeah, man. Shit, we in 2020 right now. Start of 2020, right? And I know we're going to look back and this shit's going to be like 3 years old. But check this out. I'm coming with a lot of creative stuff. I'm not going to say it's going to be the hottest shit, but I'm saying it's in my opinion.
You can say it's the hottest shit.
Yeah, in my opinion, it's going to be the hottest shit.
Yeah, you can put it out there.
I'm sending it to the universe, right?
Right.
So I'm going to come with a lot of soul, a lot of passion behind whatever I'm doing. It's going to be creative. It's going to be witty. Shit, I'm going to do some dope shit.
Yo, that's what's up. What's up? All right, you guys are at the Mike Sounds Nice podcast. My man Invincible in the house. Check out Soul Loader for sure. You know what I'm saying? We all worked hard for that. Check out more coming. Tina Marie also coming. Oh, here's the video. I'm sure we're going to do
another one too. Shit.
Yeah, he's got another one.
I'm over the head with some a secret that I'm
doing. Uh-oh, we got so. A secret that I don't even know about.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, so, yeah, I haven't, you know, talked about it, but yeah, it's coming.
Yo, appreciate everybody listening. It's Mike Sounds Nice. Out.